And we'll come back to that momentarily. I want to add our word of welcome to visitors that we have present tonight. We're grateful that you're here, and we hope that our time spent together will, first of all, honor God, glorify Him, and give Him the worship that He is due, the honor that He deserves. And to come before Him now and to praise His goodness, His kindness, His grace and mercy, to rejoice in all of His good blessings, and to at the same time examine ourselves and God, in light of God's Word, to be careful and sure that we are living in a way that pleases Him. All of these are hopefully the intent with which we've gathered, and toward that end we continue now to pursue our activities together. If you're not a Christian tonight, we want you to understand that there's no more important decision you'll ever make in your life than the decision to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be a Christian, to live by faith, to be saved from your sins, to become a child of God, and to have an inheritance that is in heaven, that's incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away. We hope that you'll make that decision tonight to make what we studied this morning, to make what is a drastic change from the way you're living now. There's no question about it. The gospel calls upon us to count the cost and pay the price, to renounce everything, to put God first, to put His will first in our lives, renounce everything, and to be sure that He is first, and He has first billing. Really, that's some of what we'll be discussing tonight as we think about and talk about the authority of Christ. And so, really, the call and the invitation of the gospel to you is to yield to the authority of Jesus Christ. As these who were reasoning among themselves about the authority of the baptism of John, we want you to be impressed that the authority of Jesus Christ is the only power that can save you from your sins. If you'll put your faith in Him tonight and repent of your sins, confess your faith and be baptized, then that same power of Christ that raised the dead will raise you out of the death of sin and stand you justified before God, cleansed, forgiven, redeemed, and so have a home in heaven. As God's people, it's important that we examine ourselves whether we're in the faith, if in fact we have been living the faith that we confess with our mouth. If we find sin in our lives, the gospel calls us to confess our sin to God, to repent of it. If we can help you accomplish that, we want to do that for you tonight as well. We're picking up and continuing our series that we've already studied these, of course, a number of years ago. We even had a class on some of this, but I think it's just very important that we regularly remind ourselves of a study of Bible authority. And this is the third in the series, in our last lesson a couple of weeks ago, we studied about the necessity of God's authority over us. We all live under authority, and it's imperative that we understand that it's only when we not only acknowledge God's authority, but yield to it and submit ourselves to Him in everything, that we will obtain the benefits and blessings that He makes available to us in His Son. Now, we want to continue that study some tonight by emphasizing, and through what we study, emphasizing that we can have confidence in God's authority, in the source that we turn to and rely upon, His Word. That we can have confidence that this Word does in fact contain His authority over us, to give us the right to believe, the right to act, so as to have His blessings now and have His blessings eternally. In Matthew 21, we see Jesus introducing the thought here to these people who were asking Him, "Who gave you this authority?" He introduces that there's really only two choices for authority in our lives when it comes to God and our lives and living before Him. One is right and one is wrong. One is human and one is heaven. One are creeds and one is Christ. One is self and one is Scripture. Heaven or man? Heaven or man? You see, Jesus said, I'm going to ask you a question. He answers the question with a question to get them to investigate and consider themselves. They're wondering, Jesus, who gave you the authority to come to the temple and drive out the money changers, as he had done the day before? Who gave you the authority to ride on this donkey and have all these people, these palm leaves before you and coming in and crying out Hosanna? And who gave you this authority? You've been now to Jerusalem over the past 3 years several times, and every time you come here, you stir things up, and in Galilee, you stir things up. Who gave you this authority? Well, Jesus said, I'll answer that. First of all, answer me. The baptism of John, where did it come from? What was its source? From heaven or from men? You see, they and you and me too, there's only two possibilities for why we do anything that we do spiritually or religiously in our lives. It's either from heaven's authority and approval, or it's on the basis of man. Man's approval, man's tradition, man's thinking, man's understanding, man's wisdom. Only two choices. There's not a third. Then choose one or the other. Now, of course, they plead ignorance. They say, we do not know. Well, you know, we can't plead ignorance and justify ourselves any more than they could. Because you see, as you read through their answer, you see very clearly that they feared the people more than they feared God. And they were unwilling to submit themselves to the authority of God, of heaven. You see, so we can't just say, well, we don't know. The evidence existed. It was obvious and clear. John's baptism had the approval of God. It did not originate with man. It was not devised by men. So when we come down to today, and we think about the church, and we think about our worship like tonight, who gave us this authority? By whose authority have we assembled here this evening? Who gave us the authority to sing and to pray with the expectation of being heard by God? Do we just presume that? Have we just over a period of centuries and traditions grown accustomed to this and just convinced ourselves that God is pleased? Upon what basis do we have confidence that we are acting with heaven's approval? That's important to know, because that establishes our faith and how we choose to live. Now, as we said, Jesus said, could be that John's baptism was from man. Let's consider that from Colossians 2 for just a minute. Now, the authority of man, man's wisdom, man's understanding, man's inventions, built upon the wisdom of men, built upon the philosophies of men. I mean, men are intelligent creatures. We have brains. We can think. We can formulate. We can organize and rationalize, and with intelligence we can do amazing things. Why do we? Maybe that's good enough. Maybe we can just trust in the wise men of the day, or maybe we do what we do, you know, because the elders told us to do it that way. And they're good men, and we like them, we trust them, and so why not? Just be able to say, well, you know, they told us to do it. The problem with that is sometimes elders can fall away, you see. Or we like the preacher, you know, he's a good guy. He said it's okay, it must be okay. Or my mom and dad, I mean, I love them. They told me it's all right. So I'm just convinced it is, because my mom and dad, they love me and they wouldn't lead me astray. Why can't I just do that? You see, and on down the line we could go. Well, in Colossians 2 and verse 8, the Word of God says, beware, lest anyone, now get the inclusive nature of that statement, lest anyone cheat you, rob you, plunder your treasure, is the idea being set forth lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now you see, it just occurs to me that one of the ways that we have to, or one of the things that we have to be warned, and accept this as a valid warning, is the humility to accept that we could be wrong. To accept the possibility that we could be in that deception right now, religiously, morally, spiritually. You see, as long as we have a mind that says, you know, I'm okay, and it doesn't really matter, then I have lifted myself above the possibility. And so I won't take this warning very seriously. I'll instead keep relying upon philosophies of men, which are empty and deceiving, because men's intelligence is a great thing, but man's intelligence begins and ends with man. We're talking about God. I know, man has thought God right out of existence. Yeah. Man's gotten so smart that man thinks he doesn't need God. Man thinks he's figured out a way to say that God doesn't exist, God didn't create the world, God doesn't sustain the world. Man's so smart. Foolish, because the evidence is so abundant. It is everywhere around us. And we close our eyes because we trust the philosophy of men that deceive us and that deceive ourselves. But after all, I mean, how can so many people be wrong? I guess kind of like they were when they said when all those intellectual and intelligent men said the world was flat. Once upon a time they did, you see. The basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. If we choose man as the substance and the totality of what we're going to rely upon in our life, the choices we're going to make for morality and for living and nothing else, just rest assured what we've done is chosen enslavement. We have chosen emptiness and futility. We have chosen error. We've chosen the loss of our souls. Beware. Beware. That's the warning from God's Word. Now, on the other hand, Jesus said, or is it from heaven? See, if something's from heaven, that obligates us. And that's one of the other problems. We don't want to be obligated. We don't want to yield ourselves. We don't want to admit we've been wrong. That's pride. Pride of life. That causes as many souls to be lost as anything else. Heaven or men. Look, if we will put our confidence in heaven, look what happens. Jesus said, if you abide in my word. Yes, Jesus is real. Jesus spoke. He had a word and we can abide in it. If you will abide in my word, then will you truly be my disciples. You just won't wear the name, because there's a lot of people that wear the name and say, I'm following Jesus. But he said, if you'll abide in my word, then you'll truly be my disciple. Then you'll be a genuine learner and follower of me. You'll be my adherent. And Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. Talked about escaping sin this morning. The Jews responded, we're sons of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to any man. Jesus said, those who serve sin are the bond servants, the slaves of sin. If the Son makes you free, then you will be free indeed. How's He going to make us free? If we abide in His Word. You see, if we abide in His Word, then we're truly His disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Sanctify them by your truth. Thy Word is truth. John 17:17. God's Word is truth. If heaven is our source of authority, then we can have freedom from sin, set apart to serve God, and rely upon what is not a false deception of the traditions of men that rise no higher than the earth, but in fact we'll be relying upon heaven, on God, and on the true source of power to save us and sustain us unto eternal life. That's our choice. That's our choice. It's simple, really. I know, you may want to make it complex. Again, that's pride, you know. It surely can't be so simple. Why? You see, in the intellectual mind, if it's so simple, it must not be true. You know, how foolish we are. How foolish we are. Jesus said, you've only got two choices. John came, preaching a message of repentance, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You accept him for a while, then you turned against him. And they would turn against the one that he was the forerunner of, the Messiah. They both came with the authority of heaven. But you see, like those people in Matthew 21, if we fear people more than we fear God, if we trust ourselves and or other men more than we trust God Almighty, then we'll join hands with those people who say, we don't know. Can't really know. And we'll be with them forever. But it won't be in heaven, it'll be in hell. Is that too plain? I want to be plain. Do I sound angry? I don't mean to sound angry. But it's serious business. Because it has to do with my soul and your soul. The part of us that will never stop existing. It's worth a careful examination, and it's imperative we make the right choice. God, having in times past spoken to the fathers and the prophets in divers ways and manners, has in these last days spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. I want you to keep on reading in that passage with me in Hebrews 1. Look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Jesus is the real impression of God Almighty. You want to learn about who God is? You look at Jesus Christ. He is the radiance and brilliance of God's real nature, of God's real substance. And upholding all things by the word of His power. The word of His power. The word of His authority. He upholds everything by the power that's in His Word. The Word that God uses to communicate His will to mankind in these last days, in this last time. Oh yes, you see, Christ, who has all authority, is the one that we need to listen to. Matthew 17 and verse 5 on the mount where Jesus is transfigured and into brilliant white, a glimpse of the eternal glory. It says that there in that passage that the Father spoke from the cloud. The verse says, while He was still speaking, behold, that is, Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Hear Him. We have to listen to Jesus far more than we listen to any man, anyone, any woman, any person. We need to listen to Jesus. In Acts 3rd chapter, verses 22 and 23, Acts 3, 22 and 23, the Apostle Peter, who was there on that occasion when the Father spoke from the cloud, said, Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Unto him you shall hear, and him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. Hear him in all things, whatever he says. And it will come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. That's from Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. Peter makes the application and says Moses was talking about Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son. who's the very Son of God. God with us, Emmanuel. Ephesians 1:20-23 is the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead and set Him in His right hand far above all authority and power and dominion in every name that is named. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And He put Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Jesus has authority over everything. All authority has been given to me in heaven and upon earth, Matthew 28:18. The power to save, the power to destroy, the power to speak, the power to bless, the power to give mercy, the power to judge. You see, all authority has been given to the Son. John 5 goes into some detail on that. John 5:18-22 and following, actually, a little further than that. And throughout the New Testament, that's why today, you see, we go to the New Testament of Jesus Christ for our authority in everything, because God has placed Him above everything. And He is head over all things to the church. Now, can we just decide to follow Jesus when we want to? No. If we're going to truly be His body, members of His body saved by Him, Ephesians 5 says the church is subject to Christ in everything. We are to subject, we are to submit ourselves to Jesus in everything. Why? Because He's been given all authority. The question is, do we believe it? We believe it by living it, by putting our trust in Him and submitting ourselves to Him in everything. In all things, He has the preeminence, Colossians 1 and verse 18. He has first place. He ranks above all in this world and in that unseen realm. He has preeminence. That's what it means that He has all authority. He has the power to say, to speak, to direct. He has the power to save and to destroy. Now, we need to choose to yield to Him, to be saved by Him. He wants to save you. Do you understand that? After all of our rebellion, after all of our sin against Him, all of our disregarding of Him, He wants to save us. And He has the power to do it, and He is willing to do it. But you and I, and anyone else on this earth who is a sinner, has to choose to acknowledge His power, to have faith that He's the Son of God, and to submit ourselves in humble obedience to that power, to that Son. Acts the 4th chapter, 10-12. Where Peter and John have been God's instruments in the healing of a man who was lame. A great wonder and amazement resulting from that powerful miracle. Gathering a large crowd and providing an opportunity to preach to the people about the Savior. Acts 3 that we just read. In the 4th chapter, Peter and John have been arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin Council, the Jewish Council in Jerusalem. And they asked them in verse 7 of chapter 4, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Huh, that sounds reminiscent of Matthew 21, doesn't it? That's what they asked Jesus. Who gave you this authority? Well, by what power or in what name have you healed this man? That ought to be self-evident. Can you imagine? Think about it. Lord, who gave you the power to heal that fellow? Well, he's healed. We saw him laying there. He's 40 years. He couldn't walk. Who gave you the authority? Why? The question answers itself. If it were Lauren or anyone else, but see, it's Peter and John. And they took knowledge, by the way, verse 13, that Peter and John were uneducated and untrained men. They had been with Jesus. Untrained, uneducated, not relying upon the intellectual prowess of men, philosophies of men, but trusting the power of God, trusting with faith in Jesus. And look what Peter said about that. Look at Peter's answer, filled with the Holy Spirit. He said to those rulers, back in chapter 4 and verse 8, If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ, now by the name of means by the power of, by the authority of, that's defined in verse 7. Someone want to quibble with you what it means to do something by the name of? Here's the Bible definition. To do something by the name of means to do it by the power of, with the authority of. Chapter 4 of Acts and verse 7. So he says, let all the people of Israel know that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole. He's the one with the power. He's the one with the authority. It's His power that's accomplished this great miracle. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which became the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The power that healed this man is the only power that will save us from our sins. That's God's doing. Verses 11 and 12. You see? And that's where we put our faith. Because Christ has the power to accomplish it. There is salvation in no other power. Christ's authority, as we understand, is contained in His Word. It's contained in these Scriptures. The Lord began to speak about our salvation, Hebrews 2 and verse 3. And, of course, the New Testament record of the life of Jesus has that recorded for us. The words that He spoke are spirit and are life. John 6, 63 and 68. Look at those verses. It says, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And then Peter would say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Curious, I think, not just curious, but it's important to note. There in John 6, 68, when Peter said, you have the words of eternal life, that it would be this same Peter, along with the other apostles, who would be commanded in Acts 5 and verse 20, when the Lord miraculously releases them from prison, they are told to go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. You have the words of eternal life. Now the apostles were sent to speak the words of this life. Jesus' authority is contained in the Word that He began to speak, and that, of course, His apostles continued to speak. Now, in John 12 and verse 48, we learn that you and I are going to be judged by the words of Jesus and our reaction to them. How we respond to them. We're going to be judged. You know, judgment means to separate and decide. To make a separation and make a decision. We're going to be judged. God's Word is going to render a decision on us based upon how we decide and choose to use or refuse the Word of Jesus. Because it's the very words of Christ that contains authority, power to save us. In John 12, 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The words or the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So if you choose to reject Jesus, if you choose to reject His words, then understand that His words will judge you in the last day. You are rejecting the very standard by which you could be saved, and therefore by which you will be judged. Judgment has been given to the Son, John 5, 22. We mentioned this a minute ago. The Father judges no one but has committed all judgment to the Son. You see, the Son has all authority. He has authority to judge. He has authority to speak a word that's been given to Him from the Father. Verses 49 and 50 go on to say, I have not spoken on my own authority, or on my own, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus didn't strike out on His own. He came with the Father's commandment. And I know that His commandment, or His command, is everlasting life. God's Word contains life everlasting. Jesus knows it. The question is, will we believe it? Jesus knows it. He says, I know His command has everlasting life. We have to decide, will we believe that? And if we refuse it, know what we're doing. We're choosing instead to be judged and condemned in our sin by that same word that could give us life. Therefore, whatever I speak, Jesus said, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. I do not deviate from it. He says, just as He told me, I speak it. So that when Jesus speaks, we know it's exactly what God wants us to hear. His Word is going to judge us in the last day. And here's what we want to make in the application here as we'll go on. You're not going to be judged by how you feel. You're not going to be able to stand in the day of judgment before God and say, but God, I feel that Your Word was too strict. I feel that Your Word was too hard to understand. Or I feel that Your Word was just the result or just caused all kinds of divisions. No, your feeling doesn't matter. You're not going to be judged by your feelings as a standard. You're going to be able to appeal to how you feel about something and that be the basis upon which your soul is saved. Not going to be judged by preachers either. Not going to be able to say, well, preacher so-and-so said this or said that. That's not going to be the standard. Any opinions. That's not going to be the standard of our judgment. Not going to be teachers or churches or synods or councils or conferences. These arrangements of men. Not going to be any associations that's going to be the standard. Not going to be any catechisms or creeds or confessionals or disciplines that men have written. Nothing like that. Not going to be your family. Not going to be judged by what mom said or what dad said. That's not going to be the standard of judgment in the last day. Not going to be what your friends had to say either. It's not going to be you, by the way, either. Not going to be me. We're not going to be the standard by which we're judged. You see, it's going to be by the Word. Why? Because it's the Word of God, the Word of Jesus, that has the power, has the authority of heaven. The power to save and the power to condemn. The power to forgive. You see, and again, as we said at the beginning, what is our authority? Is it human or is it heaven? Is it creeds or is it Christ? Is it self or is it Scripture? We decide. Now, we're not going to read all the verses on this next chart, but I want you to see that God has fully revealed to us and taught us. He shows us how it is that this authority has gone from heaven down to earth to us, from God to mankind. The Father gave His all authoritative word to the Son. He said, just as the Father has commanded me, a command that has eternal life, just as He speaks, so I speak. You read that, John 12:49-50. That all authoritative word of the Son is what He spoke to His apostles in John 17:6-8. Just as an illustration, He says, I have manifested Your name to the men whom You have given Me out of the world. That's the apostles. They were Yours, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Now they have known that all things which You have given Me are from You. For I have given to them the words which You have given Me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from You, and they have believed that You sent Me. These are men of faith. These are men who have been given, who You gave Me, Jesus says to the Father in His prayer, and I gave them Your word. It's the word You gave Me, and I gave it to them. A word that contains authority, it contains life everlasting, and it contains authority to judge us if we reject it. Those apostles were given the Holy Spirit, John 15:26-27, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, as He's also called. And He would testify of Christ, and they would bear witness under the guidance of the miraculous guidance of the Holy Spirit. He would be a comforter. He would come alongside and be with them. John 14:16-18. He would teach them and bring to their remembrance all things that Jesus said. so that here now they're going to have a miraculous capability of recall and of instruction of this authoritative Word that contains life that's from the Father, given to the Son, and now given by the Holy Spirit to the apostles. He would guide them into all truth in John 16. Look at that. John 16, 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. This is Jesus to these apostles. Remember, He had given them the Father's Word. But He says, I have many other things to say to you. So how is He going to do that? Verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide the apostles into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. He would take the Word that the Father gave the Son, and He'll declare it to the apostles, so that by doing so, they would be guided into all truth. A truth that has power, that has life everlasting, and has the power to judge. All things, verse 15, all things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said, He will take of Mine and declare it to you. See, Jesus shows the link in the chain from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to the apostles of Jesus Christ. A Word, a message from God that contains the power to save, the power to condemn. It's all truth. If we abide in it, we're truly the disciples of Jesus. If we rebel against it, it will judge us in the last day. That's our only choice, heaven or man. But these apostles, you see, they spoke that Word, didn't they? They went out preaching everywhere. The Lord working with them, confirming the Word by the signs that followed. You see, they spoke this truth. They wrote this truth. They received it by revelation, by that miracle. We studied that already in the previous lesson. Inspiration. They spoke as God impelled them, as God gave them the very words to speak. Matthew 10:20. And so, the result of their speaking and their writing is the compilation that we have now today in these Scriptures, the New Testament of Jesus Christ. A Word that contains heaven's power to save and heaven's power to judge us if we choose to rebel. And if we choose to say, I don't know where it's from, that doesn't get us off the hook. Now, we're still accountable. We're still going to give an answer in the last day. By what authority are you living? Who gave you the authority to live like you're living? The Bible says that we need to listen to the words of the apostles. Listen to those whom Jesus sent out. In Luke 10, Jesus sent 70 out by two. And upon their return, He had something to say here, and the principle of which can apply to the apostles, and we'll see it applied in other verses. In Luke 10 and verse 16, it's over there in this big Bible where I can read it. You can see it better. Luke 10 and verse 16, He who hears you hears Me, and he who rejects you rejects Me, and he who rejects Me rejects Him who sent Me. So, if we reject the ones Jesus sent, we're rejecting Jesus. And if we reject Jesus, that means we're rejecting the one who sent Jesus. Well, God the Father sent His Son Jesus into the world with a Word, with a message that contains life. And Jesus spoke it. And He sent people out. He sent these 70 out. And He sent His 12 into all the world later. If we reject them, we're rejecting Jesus and the Father. If we hear them, that means we're hearing Jesus and the Father who sent Him. You see, that's our choice. And that's what we're choosing every day in the choices of how we're going to live. We're deciding if we're listening to Jesus and the Father who sent Him or not. We must do so if we're going to have the blessing of God. Matthew 10:40. in John 13:20 reiterate the same point, the same principle. Christ has complete authority. He has power over you and me. He's been given authority in heaven and on earth. It's imperative, it's necessary, it's crucial, it's essential that you and I respect His authority by humbly obeying everything He says to us and trusting every word He's revealed to us. His authority is found in the inspired Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. Again, we studied this earlier in our series. As we sum this up this evening, remember that inspired Scripture is sufficient. It's adequate. It's profitable, beneficial for doctrine, for teaching. You see, it's going to judge us in the last day, so we need to go to it now for what we're going to be taught and what we're going to teach. And if it's not here, we don't need to be teaching it. We don't need to be accepting it. For reproof, we can take these Scriptures and we can test our lives to see if we conform to God's will. For correction, when we find our sin, and we will, if when we compare ourselves to God's Word, it teaches us how to straighten it out, how to be corrected. We've got to yield to it, don't we? We've got to have the faith to apply the correction. And if we do, He says it's also for instruction in righteousness. It'll teach us how to live righteously, having been corrected from our sin, redeemed. Why? That the man of God may be complete, adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Christ's complete authority is revealed in the complete Word, the inspired Scriptures of the New Testament. We must learn them. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Learn the truth. It's much more important that you learn the truth than that you have a high school diploma or a college degree or a PhD or any other acclaim that men can give you from any kind of learning from men. Learn from God. Learn from God. How you do that? With faith. You study to show yourself approved unto God. Not to be approved among men, to be approved unto God. A workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17. That will is revealed in the Word. It has power to save you. And it does have power to judge you in the last day. By what authority are you doing what you're doing? Living what you're living. Believing what you're believing. God or man? See, I can trust this. You know you can trust man to save you? If you think you can trust men to save you, you've got your trust in the wrong place, because men can't save you. They can't save your soul. Men will tell you you don't even have a soul, much less have the power to save you. Save your soul. Now, 1 Peter 1:22, seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth through the Spirit. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. I can trust this. You can rely upon this. You can take it to the bank. You can rest your soul upon this. It lives and abides forever. It is incorruptible. Heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said, "My word will not pass away." It will save you. It will sustain you. It will secure you. It will accomplish every purpose God gives it. So as we study Bible authority, that's the basis upon which we will have our additional lessons about how to establish authority and how to use the Scriptures and how to study the Scriptures and how to apply the Scriptures and what authority we have to do this and do that. It's because at every turn, we are recognizing this fundamental principle. God's Word has a purpose. A purpose given it by God, sent forth by God. A purpose to give you and me the right to act, to have faith in our Creator and our Sustainer and our Redeemer, to save us and to teach us how to offer Him approved service. Here's the principle stated in Isaiah 55:10, and then we'll close. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He sets the scene. He says, when the rain falls, it doesn't go back. The rain doesn't fall backwards. The rain comes down, the snow comes down for a purpose. To produce seed that can be sown. And produce a crop from which we obtain bread and eat and are sustained in the flesh. Now he says, so also, in the same way, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God says, my word has a purpose. When I send it out, it's going to accomplish its purpose. It's not going to return to me empty. It'll do exactly what I sent it out to do. He sent it out by His Son, through the Holy Spirit-guided apostles, to save us and to direct us in living by faith to obtain an eternal inheritance. It will accomplish that purpose in your life and in mine if we will put our faith in Him, believe it, and obey it in faith. Won't you do that tonight? Haven't you had enough of trusting in the wrong things who have no power to save your soul? Put your trust in Jesus. Return to Him in faith. Repent of your sins against Him. Or become a Christian for the first time by faith, repenting, and being baptized into Christ Jesus. We're ready to help you. God is ready to forgive. He's ready to save. He has the power. And He's taught us how. And if we'll abide in this Word, we'll be freed from our sin. Won't you come? All together we stand and sing.